It's our prayer this morning that the Word of God will speak to our hearts. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. I want to speak to you this morning from the Word of God on the subject of the idea of a second chance to start your life over again. A second chance to start your life over again. I know you're probably thinking, well, brother, that's impossible. But it might surprise you to know that we have opportunities in life that afford us to be able to start over in our walk with the Lord, what He has for us in our hearts and our lives. The main character we're going to share about this morning is from the book of Ruth here, and it's about Naomi. And Naomi, in the Greek and the Hebrew, the way the title was given to her is her name, meant pleasant one. Pleasant one. Naomi was a very pleasant person to be around or to be with, if you use the meaning of her name. Her husband was Elimelech, and Elimelech signified or meant, my God is king. But they were living in a time and a place there in Bethlehem of Judea, about 5 miles from Jerusalem. And as they're living, if you backed up and you looked at the last verse of Judges, which is the next page back, the last verse there, it said, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Sound familiar to you? How are people living their lives today? Every man, woman are living their lives in a manner that is pleasing to their own eyes. What they want to do, how they want to do it. Naomi and Elimelech had 2 kids. Mahlon, his name meant sickness. And Chilion, which meant weakly. He was very weak. He had been probably sick from birth. And the thing that was happening. Now get this picture in your mind for me, okay? Here is Elimelech, Naomi, and their 2 sons. There's a famine in Jerusalem. Did you hear what I said? There's a famine in Jerusalem. Why do I emphasize that? What did the Lord promise them when He brought them up out of Egypt? Moses is going to lead them into a land, Canaan, and he described the land as being how? A land that's flowing with milk and honey. And now here they are some years later, and there's a famine in the land. No rain has come. Crops has failed. Barns are empty. Houses are suffering from all kinds of plagues and diseases and stuff because of the plague. And Elimelech decides that what he needs to do is to take his wife and take his children and go down to Moab and stay down in Moab until things got better. Now, what's wrong with him running from the distress and the need of the drought? Nothing. It's where he went to was the problem. He went to Moab. You remember the Moabitish people and how God had a special penalty for them, punishment. We've studied that on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights. He had a special punishment for them because the Moabitish people, whenever He's bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt and carrying them into Cana, into the promised land, they had to go through Moab, the city and the country of the Moabitish people. They refused to let Moses bring the children of Israel through that way. Therefore, they had to go way out of their way to go around the Moabitish people. But here, sometime later, God still doesn't forget how they treated his people. And don't ever think God forgets how you and I may find ourselves and what kind of situation we might be in our hearts and our lives. They're living in a time of the judges. They didn't have a king. They didn't have anybody in charge. Everybody was doing what was right in his own eyes, the scripture says. And it begins to tell us here that it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. What does it mean, it came to pass? It happened. It happened that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech. The name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Benjamin, Judah. Come right out of Ephraim was another name for Israel. Come right out of the midst of them and the town of Bethlehem. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now, I ask that the Lord sometimes, now help me vision this so I can understand this, so I can help y'all understand that was taking place. And what I see here is perhaps a donkey with a cart that Elimelech has loaded all of his possessions upon. He's taken his wife and his two sons, and they head out to go down into the country of Moab until things got better there in Bethlehem of Judea. And the drought eased and supplies were available again, that perhaps he was figuring that he would come on back home. Now I want you to see Naomi. Get this picture. She's sitting up there on that cart. This is Larry Haver thinking, let me tell you that. My little vision here of what I'm seeing. But I see her sitting up on that cart. And she's waving goodbye to all of her sisters and her brothers and her cousins and friends that she's made and stuff. And she's looking down on them and said, y'all stay here if you want to. Starve to death if you want to. My honey's taking me and we're going down into Moab. And we're going to stay down in Moab till things gets better. And then we'll be back. We'll be back. She's just all full of herself, that Elimelech loves her enough and her boys enough. And the boys have got problems because their names signify sickness and weakness, and their health is not the very best. But you know, I've told you many, many times, the most careful laid out plans don't always work out. Things don't always fall in place just like you and I plan them a lot of times. But you know, whenever we make plans and we begin to do things that may be contrary to God's will for our lives, we're asking for trouble. Asking for trouble. You know, they think here that this famine is a curse that's been put on them by the Lord for something that they have done in their hearts and their lives, and it too will pass pretty quick in their thinkings of what's taking place here. But I don't think Elimelech, I don't think Naomi, either one of them ever in their wildest imagination could realize that God is moving them from where they are to where he needs them to be in order for his will to be accomplished in the lives of his people, the Israelites, God's chosen people, ones that he created, and he did them to die for them for our sins, the Jewish people. Now listen what happens here. Verse 4 says, Elimelech Naomi's husband died, and she was left and her two sons. First problem that came up, Elimelech died. Wasn't planned. He went down there to prosper. He went down there to have plenty until things, he didn't realize, you know, many times in our hearts and our lives, things come our way totally unexpected. And the scripture says that she was left with her two sons. Now, if I've heard anything in the history of the Old Testament and stuff, the worst place in the world that a woman could find herself was to be a widow in the day and time of Old Testament dealings. They just didn't prosper. They just couldn't succeed. They couldn't get ahead. Oftentimes, they wound up in the poorhouse, as we used to say around here. Now, think about it with me. When she lost her husband, what else did she lose? Her job, if she had one, maybe her husband's income, I'll put it that way. Elimelech had to find something to do down there. So she lost their income. Lose their income, what? The mortgage, the lights, the water, got to have money to survive, don't you? She found herself in a world of hurt. And she's doing the best that she can. And their hearts and their lives. She had lived with these two boys. Verse 4 said, they took them wives of the women of Moab. Another thing God forbid them to do. Just digging their digger hole, aren't they? When they refused to do what the Lord told them to do. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. They had about 10 years that these boys were married to these girls. And then Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Her family is gone. What do you think went with the loss of her family? Her hope, her dreams, her aspirations. What was she doing when they pulled out of town with all her possessions on that cart? Them donkeys dragging them down the road. Little boys with their feet flopping on the back of that wagon back there. Down into where they wasn't supposed to go. What happens? Their lives, instead of being better, has become destroyed. Their children, their husband, all that is wiped out. The scripture says in verse 6, she got to come up with a plan. She's got to figure out what she's going to do. What would you do if you found yourself in that position? Strange land. You done left all your family and kind of high-headed them and said, y'all stay here and starve to death if you want to. Me and my honey going down yonder. We're going to have plenty in our hearts and our lives. Scripture said a little later she went out full. We'll see how she comes back in a little while. She arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. She's going to go back home. She done wasted all of her needs there in Moab. She didn't have anywhere to turn, anything to do. And she tells her two daughter-in-laws that she's going to return back to Bethlehem, Judea. For she had heard, she didn't know, but she had heard that the Lord had been giving his people bread. Verse 7 says, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, And her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord has dealt kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Lost your husbands, but you're still young, and you're still able to have a family and possessions and things. Go back to your home. Go back to your parents and let them help you get a second chance to start your life over. That's more than what Naomi had hoped for. What all she had hoped for was when she got back to Bethlehem, Judea, that they would have some food there to be able to sustain her. Verse 9 said, the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you in the house of your husband. Go get remarried. Have your possessions. Do the best. She kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept, and they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. They didn't want to leave her. They knew that Naomi was in dire straits. She was hurting, and there was need in her heart and her life. And she told them, go back. Go to the house of your husband. Find a new life. Have children. Do the things that you would have done had Mahlon and Chilion had lived. There's hope for you to return to your mother's house. There's hope for you to have a second chance to start your life over. There's hope for you. But the hope is not in what she can do. The hope's in who? What God can do in her and through her. And what they were doing in their life. Naomi left her mother. She left her father. She left her country, her family, home, everything. She lost it when her husband died. And she's telling them, go back home to your folks. Turn again, my daughters, and go your way. For I'm too old to have a husband. And if I had any hope, I should have a husband. Also tonight, could I bear you sons? She's getting on up in age. She knows it's very unlikely. If she were to meet a man, marry him, and could conceive and have a child, that they would wait for that child to grow up to the age that they could marry. And she said, would you tarry? Would you wait? Would you be there that long in your heart and your life? And so Oprah decides to kiss her mother-in-law and return to her mom's house. But Naomi, she refused. And her dealings, she fought and argued with Ruth to go back home. Go back home. And you know the words that Ruth said to her. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Boy, I'm telling you, Ruth really loaded her up when she told her how she felt and what she was willing to do. Verse 18 says that when she saw that she was steadfast minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that when they were come to Bethlehem, listen to this, watch this. It came to pass, what does that mean? It happened. It that when they came to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" As they began to make their way back into the town, they didn't have a clue who Ruth was, but they recognized Naomi. What did they see coming down that old dusty road back into the city? They saw a woman that was weary and worn and torn in her life. I imagine if you could have seen the old sandals on her feet, the old clothes on her her back, it would amaze you. But what amazed me about it was she went out full. But listen what she says about coming back. They asked the question, said, "Is this Naomi?" Verse 20, she said unto them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty." Folks, don't wait for the Lord to bring you home empty. You may be like that verse of Scripture there that we read in the very beginning. It come out of the last book of Joshua, the last verse. Their days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Yes, you've got the right today to live your life as you please. But there's one of these days you're going to be called home. You're going to be brought back. And you're going to give an account of yourself to God for the things that you've done in your body, whether it be good, whether it be bad. You hear me tell you all the time this, you know, life's made up of choices. We make good choices or bad choices, but we're going to live with the choice that we make. But I've already started adding a little bit to the end of that. Choices have consequences. Choices have consequences. And we're going to answer for those consequences. We make those bad choices. Naomi, Elimelech, and the boys. Boys couldn't help. They had to do what mom and daddy said. They made a bad choice. And she said, "Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara." Which if you looked up in the Greek and the Hebrew, just means bitter. She said, "The Almighty hath dealt with me very bitterly. I went out full, but the Lord brought me home empty. Why then call ye thee me why do you call me Naomi? Seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty have afflicted me." She'd just about been through a person's limits, hadn't she? Lost her husband, lost her sons, lost everything she had worked for all of her life. You know, when trouble comes our way, how are we going to handle it? What are we going to do in our hearts and our lives? None of us are exempt. We all are going to be put to the test probably in our hearts and our lives concerning things that really we don't know how to handle. But instead of running to, we run away from what the Lord wants for us in our hearts and our lives. But verse 22 here says, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, was with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley season." Naomi was looking for a chance to start her life over. What about you and I today? Have you been satisfied with the progress you've made so far in your life? 72 years old. I look back over those 72 years and I think about what all God has done for me and some of the things He's put me through. I'm living testimony to you, folks. He can slow you down. He can put you flat on your back. He can cause you to stop and think in your heart and your life. Don't wait till you lose the most important thing. And that's what Naomi lost. I hope you picked it up in that verse of scripture there. But Naomi lost a husband. She lost two sons. She lost her daughter-in-law, and one went with her. But the scripture says Naomi lost her hope. She lost her hope. That things was going to be better in Moab. And things only got what? Worse. Worse. When we follow the wrong leader, things get worse. In our hearts. Don't let Satan discourage you. Don't let him beat you down. Don't let him take away from you the joy of your salvation. Scripture tells us to resist the devil and he'll flee. He can't stay around. Listen to me, and I'll hush. The closer you are to the Lord, the least you're going to have to worry about Satan. Why is that, Brother Larry? Because the scripture teaches us that we're the Lord is, who can't be there? Sin. Who is sin? The devil, you know? And that unconfessed sin. So the closer we stay to God, the better we're going to be in our walk with Him. And when we have to go through one of those fiery trials and we begin to see things that are important to us slip away, whether it's one of our family members, or whether it's our job or our finances or our family or whatever that is slipping away from us, you know, don't lose hope. Realize, poor Naomi, can you imagine she stopped way outside of town? I'm just paraphrasing what I think. She looked down that long, dusty road and she hated, oh God, she hated to go barefooted into that city. And them people to look at her and say, my goodness, is that Naomi? Can't be. But it was. What'd she say? Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. For she was bitter that she lost everything. But she had one thing left, and that was hope. And she had heard that back down in Bethlehem, where she came from, there was bread. But you know, God put her right where He wanted her. Right where Boaz was beginning to gather barley. And Ruth was willing to go out and gather up and glean the leftovers and what dropped on and brought in all sorts of barley that night. And they began to rebuild their lives together. I don't care how far down you are, how bad a situation you've been through or anything else, there's hope in the Lord and what He'll do for you in your heart and your life. Would you pray with me? Father, again this morning, many times our moms, our mothers, our ladies, our women, are caused to have to make decisions for their households. And I know, Father, that it's tempting to make the easy decision when we need to make that tough decision to do Your will and not ours. God, we live in that same society today where anything goes. And it's so easy to follow the world rather than follow You, God. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. If there's one here this morning that feels like their hope is slipping away from them, I would, Father, that they'd come and just kneel at these altars and pray and say, God, don't let me get as far as Naomi got, to where I lose it all for a little self-gain and pleasure here. And ask God to strengthen you. And ask God to help you to do His will with your life. Whatever God may be speaking to you about, would you listen? Would you hear? Would you obey? If you'd like Brother Larry to pray with you, I'm here. Be glad to do so. Father, search us and know us now, God. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. What we're going to sing, Brother Ernie.